Colossians chapter 2 to begin with. So we're finishing today our series, which we've called On the Go, looking at lesser known characters in the New Testament. We've heard about some of them already this morning. And today, the character that we're going to look at is called Archippus, or Archippus, or something like that. I don't know how to say his name. And we find him in chapter 4. But first, I want to go to chapter 2, because chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 are kind of the key core to the book of Colossians. They tell us really what the book of Colossians is all about, why Paul wrote this book to the church in Colossae. So let's read chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, and then we'll flip to chapter 4. Paul writes, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Now flip forward to chapter 4, and we'll start reading at verse 7. Remember, watch out for the name Archippus. "Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, who we saw last week, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, who we thought about on Tuesday evening, the doctor, and Demas, a few weeks ago, send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea." Here we go. Verse 17. "Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." Let's pray. Our Father, we don't want to leave here this morning unchanged. We don't want to go out the way that we came in. We want to respond to your word like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Please would you help us to listen, to understand, but then also to respond, to put into practice what we hear today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, a few of us have started to run park run regularly on a Saturday morning. It's just in Pimm's Park over there. Park run is a 5 kilometre race that you run. It's about 3 laps of the park. And by the time you get to the third lap, I can tell you, it feels like quite a long way. 5,000 metres. It's nothing for Mo Farah, but it feels like quite a long way for me. It's nothing, however, compared with 42.2 kilometres, which is what it takes to complete a marathon. Now, I know a few of us here this morning have actually run marathons. Stick up a hand if you've run a marathon. Look at that, name and shame. Phil, Matilda, Luke, anyone else? Okay, well, Tyler. I don't believe you, Tyler. No offence. Maybe one day. But I think these guys, and maybe Tyler as well, can vouch that that a marathon is easy to start. And it's much harder to continue, and it's harder still to complete. It's a long way, 42.2 kilometres, 26.3 miles or thereabouts. That's a long way to run. And the temptation is always to give up. The temptation as you run must be just to stop, just sit down. You've done enough, have a break, have a rest. It's a very long race. And particularly if you're on the marathon, I imagine that as you kind of run down these streets, there's lots of coffee shops to the side. And as your eyes lift beyond the crowd, you can see The smell of donuts, you can't smell, see the smell, but you know what I mean. The smell of donuts perhaps comes out of the coffee shop, and you can see that there's a spare seat. And so a voice in your head says, just give up. You've done really well to get this far. You're kind of like 3/4 of the way through. Just stop. Take a seat. Sit down. You'll be okay. It's a real temptation to give up. And actually that temptation is real because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long way. The sore knees, the blistered feet. So what do those marathon runners need? If they're going to complete the race, what are they going to read? Some don't even make it to the start line. For some, the training is too much. And even on the day itself, many more are tempted to give up. So what do they need? They need people who are going to encourage them to keep going. They need friends around them, supporters, who are going to say, complete the job, finish the race. They need people to train with, people who are going to drag them out of bed in the early morning, in the winter, in the cold, with the sore knees and the blistered feet and the bleeding toes and all of that. They need people along the race, you know, as they line the streets in London perhaps, shouting for every last athlete, keep going, complete the race. That's what marathon runners need if they're going to complete the race. And this morning, we meet a man who needs that encouragement. He needs the encouragement to finish the race, to complete the job. We saw him in verse 17. I'm going to say his name different every time because I'm not quite sure how it goes. So maybe we'll just call him Archie. Can we call him Archie this morning? We're going to call Archippus Archie. Verse 17, look at it again. Tell Archie, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Complete the work. Don't give up. Keep going. Be a completer. We only have 2 verses in the whole Bible about Archie, but we can kind of piece his story together like bits of a puzzle. It all goes back to the time where the Apostle Paul was on his missionary journeys. He was preaching the glorious good news about the crucified and risen Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who had lived a perfect life, who had died in the place of sinners, who had risen victoriously from the dead. And Paul preached that by faith in this Jesus alone, you can receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul travelled around with this wonderful message, he gets to a place called Ephesus, which is on the west coast of Turkey. And here, Paul had a really great time. It was a very fruitful part of his ministry. In fact, he stayed there for 2 whole years. You can read about it in Acts chapter 19. And as he taught there for 2 years, his impact was so widespread that the Bible says all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Can you imagine that? All the Jews and Greeks in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Asia was a different kind of area then. It's not talking about the whole of Asia as we know it. But even so, that is a huge number of people who have heard the amazing message of Jesus. And amongst those people who'd heard were 2 key men. Are you following me? So Paul is preaching this message to loads of people, and in the crowds there are 2 key men. One is called Philemon and one is called Epaphras. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that Epaphras kind of picked up the baton, to use a racing analogy again. He took the message that he'd heard from Paul and he took it back to where he lived, a place called Colossae. And as he preached this message of Jesus, the one who lived a perfect life, died on the cross in the place of sinners, risen again and ascended into heaven, as he preached that message, guess what? People believed. They received the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And soon they had to plant a church. And so this church was planted in the house of someone else, the other guy, called Philemon. So Epaphras preached, and a church was planted in the house of Philemon. And Paul actually writes a letter to Philemon. And in that letter we read that in Philemon's house, living with him in the house, was a lady called Apphia, probably his wife, and a man called Archippus, probably his son. So Archippus is Philemon's son. Okay, he has a church meeting in their family home. And no doubt he's pretty involved. If a church is meeting in your home, you can't really escape it. So he sees them coming every Sunday to worship the Lord. He's there for all the prayer meetings. Now Paul has never met this church. But now he sends this letter to them. And his purpose, like we read in chapter 2, is that they might be completers. That they would continue on in their faith. that they would be fruitful trees rooted in the Lord Jesus. He's saying, don't give up. Keep going. Be a completer. And so you can imagine them sitting round, perhaps in the front room, the living room of Apphia's house, Philemon's house, where Archippus had grown up. And they're reading this letter together. Maybe it was just a small gathering of believers. And as they get to the end of this letter, Archie's ears prick up. Because there's a command directly to him. Not just for the church, but for him. Verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Be a completer. Part of what it means to continue in Christ is to complete the work that he's given us. And Archie needed reminding. He needed someone to say to him, keep going. And actually, he's not alone. If we're followers of Jesus this morning, we are going to be tempted to give up halfway, just like that marathon runner. I speak like I've ever run a marathon. I haven't. I just imagine that you're tempted to give up halfway. And these guys can probably say it's true. But just like them, for us in our walk with the Lord Jesus, as we run the race to the end, we will be tempted to give up halfway. And we need this encouragement to be completers. Now, we heard something a little bit similar a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the character of Demas. But this isn't something we just need to hear once. We need to hear it again and again and from different angles. And so this morning, we're going to consider this work, this ministry that Archippus was given and that we have in the Lord. So the first thing, it is working. Complete the work. The first thing about this work is that it is given by the Lord. Look at the verse again. The work Archie was given is a work that was received in the Lord. Complete the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Now that's a really crucial phrase. It's really important. The work that we do is not what we do to become Christians. It's what we do if we are Christians. It's not a work that is offered by us. It is a work that is given to us. Does that make sense? It is not what we do to become a Christian. We can never do anything on our own merit to become a Christian. It is simply what we are given to do if and when we do become followers of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. I used to work for an electronics company. I was an assistant, a purchasing assistant, that was it, a kind of buyer. I used to buy little components for electronic equipment for voltage protection. If you want to know more about that, ask me afterwards. It's fascinating. Anyway, but there I was, sat on my desk, okay? And at my desk, my boss was right in front of me there, and his boss was right behind me there. I don't think they trusted me not to go on Facebook all day. Anyway, but either of these two bosses could give me work to do, okay? So they would give me the work to do, and I would receive it from them and do whatever they'd asked me to do. Now, that's not how I got the job. I didn't get the job by doing some of the work. They'd only given me work to do because I was employed by the company. Now, it's a silly example, but do you see the difference? The work that we've been given by the Lord is received in the Lord. It is what he has given us to do, not what we do to get in his good books. Working for Jesus is not something we do in a kind of desperate attempt to get him to hire us. Perhaps some of us this morning think, Well, I'm here at church, so hopefully my life is going to turn around and things are going to start going good for me. I'm going to come, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to serve as hard as I can at church so that God looks favourably on me and he can do me a favour in return. But that's a completely wrong way to be thinking about this work that is described here in verse 17. It is a work that is given by the Lord. The only reason that the Lord can give us work to do is because he has already done for us what we could never do for ourselves. He died on the cross in my place. He took the punishment that I deserve for my sin. I can't do that for myself. Through his death and resurrection, I have been transferred to his team, part of his company, if you like, and then he has given me work to do. But it's really important to see that that comes first. Working for Jesus is not how we get saved by Jesus. Maybe this morning you are thinking like that. Maybe one of those things I said earlier is true of you. I'm here to kind of please God and make him look favorably on my life circumstances. Your place on Jesus' team is not based on how impressive your CV is. It's based rather on the perfect CV of the Lord Jesus on your behalf. And so if that is you this morning, I need to implore with you, stop trying to please God. Stop trying to make him like you. Confess that actually you're not good enough and you need to ask Jesus for forgiveness. So this work that has been given to us is a work given by the Lord. Anyone who's in the Lord has been given this work to do. This isn't just a command to Archie. It's not just a command to the rest of the Colossians as they listened into this letter. But actually, this is a command for us today. In any team, there are different roles to play. But on Jesus' team, there is no bench. There is no one who is on the sidelines, not involved. We've all got a different job to complete. There's the pastor of Causeway Community Church, which is, again, one of our Together for Mission partner churches in Enfield and its surrounding areas. They're up in Potter's Bar. And he has a lot of interactions with some care homes in the local vicinity of the church. And so the other month he was taking a service at a care home, and there was a lady there who's trusting the Lord Jesus. She's 101 years old. And she said to Peter, she said, "I can't wait to go to heaven. In fact, I'm not sure why the Lord hasn't taken me yet." And Peter was able to say, "Well, here's why. You've got work to do." Jesus has given her work to complete, and he'll only take her when she's done. Perhaps you feel useless this morning. Perhaps you feel like in your walk with the Lord Jesus, you've got nothing to offer. You've probably got more to offer than a 101-year-old. But even she has a job to do. And the same is true of you. Maybe you think, "Well, I'm too old." Or, "I'm not too old, but I've done my shift. I've done a good stint. Someone else can do the work now." But if you're in the Lord, if you're someone who has trusted him for the forgiveness of your sins, you have been given work to do. And it's not our place to moan about the choice of job. It's our place to be a completer. So it's given by the Lord. Secondly, this work is all about the Lord. We're not told exactly what Archie's work was. You can imagine him sitting there in that living room as this letter was read out. And when they got to this verse, I'm sure he knew exactly what Paul was talking about. But my job is not Archie's job, and your job is not Archie's job. But take a look back to just across the page, to chapter 3, verse 23. Have you got that? Chapter 3, verse 23. Paul writes, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." If we are in the Lord, whatever we do is the work that the Lord has given us. It would be wrong to think that Jesus' work, this ministry that's been talked about here, is just what the upfront teachers do, or those who teach in minis, or on a Friday night with Refined, or the Bible study, or the Turkish Bible study, or whatever it might be at the cafe. It would be wrong to think that's what Paul's talking about here. That's ministry. It would be wrong to think that the work that Jesus has given us, that's just talking about when I particularly have an evangelistic conversation and I'm talking about Jesus and I'm offering someone the chance to be saved, but the rest of the time that I'm doing anything, it's kind of not really valuable time, it's wasted time. That'd be a wrong way to think about things. We might be tempted to think that the work Jesus has given us to do, well, that's all about the stuff that goes on in this building. It's all about church stuff, organized events. That's the wrong way to think about it as well. You see, the Bible actually gives us a really healthy view of work. It says, whatever you do, do it for the Lord, because it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Jesus is both Saviour and he's Lord. He's my Saviour because he alone can save me through his death and his resurrection. He's my Lord because that means he is the boss of every single inch and every single second of my life. It's all about the Lord. And therefore, because that's true, every second of our life should be designed to bring honour to the Lord. So, if you work, your work is not simply about getting food on the table. It's not simply about paying your rent or saving up for the next holiday or just providing enough for your kids. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So work in a way which honors his name. If you're out of work, if you're retired, the same is true. Whatever tasks, whatever conversations and appointments and relationships fill your day, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So go about them in a way which honors him. If you're at school, it's not just about learning facts. It's not just about making friends or passing exams and getting into college. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So learn in a way which honors his name. Parents, it's not just about keeping the house tidy or getting all the jobs done or trying to stop your child from bleeding or just keeping them clean to the end of the day, making sure they've got enough food in the belly. It's more than that. Jesus has given you your work to do as a mum or as a dad or as a grandparent. And it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So look after them in a way which honours his name. How we serve at church. It's not just about getting the job done or filling up the rota or just turning up to make up the numbers. It's the Lord Christ we're serving. So let's serve him with joy and with thankfulness. I think we get the point. Whatever we do, whatever season we're in, whatever work the Lord has given you to do, it's all about him. Can I offer a practical suggestion that might help us remember this? I think sometimes we see it in the Bible and we say, that must be true. But then most of the time, for the rest of our lives, we don't really act like it's true. That's certainly true for me. It's easy for me, because this is my job, when I'm here in the church building to think, it's the Lord Christ I'm serving. When I go home, I forget that often. And so why not put it up somewhere? Write it on a post-it note or on a whiteboard or a reminder on your phone. Put it somewhere where you will see every day it's the Lord Christ you're serving. Put it on your fridge or at work, on your desk somewhere, or wherever it might be. Somewhere where you cannot forget that every second of our lives is designed to honour the Lord and it's all about him. A good prayer for us to pray is this. Lord, help me today to do today what you would have me do today. Let me say that again. Lord, help me to do today what you would have me do today. It's a good prayer to pray at the beginning of each day. So this work is given by the Lord. It's all about the Lord. And thirdly, it's modelled by the Lord. Modelled by the Lord. As we think about Archippus, the one who got to the end, the marathon runner who made it to the end of the race. We heard last week that Paul himself was someone who had finished the race that was set before him. But doesn't that point us ultimately to the Lord Jesus? He is the great completer. Jesus had work to do, and he finished the job. It's a work that you and I could never do. If you read John's Gospel, you'll hear Jesus talking a lot about this work, the work that the Father had given him to do. His work was to do the will of his Father in heaven. Jesus was sent to this world to make God known to the world. He was sent to be a light in the darkness. He did that in the way that he lived, in the things that he did, in the things that he taught. And it was hard work. It was tiring. It meant long days. It meant sleepless nights. It meant getting up early to pray. It was uncomfortable. The Bible says the world did not recognize him. In fact, they rejected him. The Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And often the work of Jesus looked slow and unimpressive. As you read through John's Gospel, at one point all of the crowds drift away. They melt away and there's only a handful left. It's just him and his disciples alone. Jesus' work was to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His work was to be lifted up and crucified on a cross so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And as we think about that work, would you or I ever have completed that work? Would we have ever got to the end and finished it off? There's no way. But as Jesus hangs on the cross, bearing the punishment that I deserve, as he breathes his last, what is it that he cries out? He cries out, it is finished. It's complete. You know that feeling when you get to the end of a really busy day and all of the jobs are done, everything is tidy, and you finally get to sit down, put your feet up, and have a cup of tea. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus sat down. It wasn't because he was tired. It's because he was finished. It was done. It was complete. His work was over. Jesus is still working. The Bible says that he stands and intercedes for us. But the sacrifice, which is the basis of our salvation, is done. Past tense. It's complete. And this is the basis of our confidence before Jesus. This is the if you're ever worried, can I really be saved? Is it really as good as that, that if I trust in Jesus and say, I want you to forgive me for my sins, I want you to be the Lord of my every inch of my life, if I worship Jesus in that way, that my sins are forgiven and I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, are you ever tempted to doubt that? If you're tempted to doubt that, then remember, Jesus is sitting. Jesus has sat down. He's not working anymore. It was once for all. It's complete. That's the basis of our confidence in our salvation. And as we trust in this great completer, the one who did what we could never do, he in turn does give us work to do. Our work, as we've considered, is to live every second serving the Lord Christ. But just like the runner halfway through the 5K or the marathon, whatever it is for you, we're going to be tempted to sit down, to give up, to have enough. And so let me just, in the last little while, they're very brief, but I just want to consider three brief reasons that we might be tempted to give up and how they are answered in the book of Colossians. Okay. So the first is this. These are reasons that we might be tempted to give up. It's tiring. By the way, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Mark Beaumont, who cycled around the world. He was attempting to cycle around the world in 80 days, which is just unbelievable. 18,000 miles, 80 days. On Monday, he did it. 79 days. Isn't that amazing? And to me, that was a real encouragement, because it made me remember that, like Demas, some might be tempted to give up and go. But it was a reminder that actually the Lord Jesus will hold us fast to the very end. But anyway, he was tired at various points. In fact, he looked knackered. And so is the case for anyone who's run a marathon. It's tiring. Archie is past the glamorous stage. Remember, they planted a church in his home? No doubt at the beginning, that was quite exciting. It had more people coming in. More people were being saved. It was quite exciting. A church plant is fresh. We know that, don't we, as a church family? But then you kind of get past the glamorous stage. And it's just hard work. And you've been doing it for a little while. And perhaps this morning, as you come to sit and listen to God's word, you're just feeling tired in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Perhaps serving him has just got really hard. Each week at work, maybe you're trying to do your job in a way which does honour the Lord Jesus. But that means that you have to do everything as well as you can. It means not cutting corners, not knocking off early. That's tiring. Or perhaps there's a ministry in church that you've just been doing for ages and you're kind of exhausted and you think, I've just got nothing left to give. I haven't got the energy anymore. Maybe as a parent, you're tired because you're trying to bring up your kids in the ways of the Lord, but life is just hectic and busy and you barely get a minute anyway. And that's just another thing to add into the mix. Flick back to chapter 1, verse 29. Here's the answer. If you're tired in your service of the Lord Jesus... let's go from 28, chapter 1, verse 28. He, that's Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that I have in and of myself. Is that what it says? No. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Keep going. It's his energy. Don't try and do things in your own strength. Do it in his. Yes, work hard. Strenuously contend. That means work hard. But lean on him for your strength. Keep going. Be a completer. Second thing. It's uncomfortable. I've never run a marathon, but I once ran a half marathon, stupid thing to do. Really hurt. My feet were very sore, and so was the rest of my body for a long time. It's uncomfortable. In Philemon, Paul calls Archie a fellow soldier. That's something else I've never done, being a soldier. But I imagine it's not a particularly comfortable thing to do. Paul is writing this letter actually from prison, and there's serious persecution against Christians, and Archie has a Christian church meeting in his house. It was not a comfortable position to be in. And maybe this morning you're tempted to give up because working for Jesus is uncomfortable. I think it's fair to say every one of us wants an easy life. You think, well, I would serve in church in that particular way, but also it would be quite nice to have an evening in. I would talk to my friends about Jesus, but they're just going to think I'm stupid. Maybe it would be easier just to break my life up into little sections. I'm happy, while I'm at church, I'm happy to live all out for Jesus. But when I'm at work, well, I've just got to focus on, you know, working. When I'm at school, I'm at school. When I'm on holiday, that's a holiday. Doing the work that Jesus has given us all of the time, that's an uncomfortable thing. But Paul says, keep going because it's worth it. Look at verse 24 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul knew what it was to suffer, but he rejoiced. Why? Verse 27, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why. No matter how uncomfortable it might be, it's worth it. As we live serving the Lord Christ, what is he doing? He is making known the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you. And he's doing it through us. So if you're ever tempted to think, oh, it's uncomfortable, it's not worth it. It is. Look what God is doing through you. And that takes us, thirdly, to the third thing, is slow. I much prefer cycling to running, because cycling actually feels like you're going somewhere. Running is just so slow. It doesn't feel like you're making any progress at all. You keep looking at your phone or whatever you track your distance with, and it's like, oh, have I only been that far? It's slow. And sometimes that's what it feels like in our work with the Lord, for the Lord Jesus. I once had an Airfix model. Do you remember Airfix models? Do you still have them today? I'm looking at some of the younger people. Do you know what I mean by Airfix model? No? Anyone at the back? All right, you've never lived. You're there with your tablets, but you've never done an Airfix model. Terrible. Anyway, an Airfix model is a model of like a ship or a plane or something else made out of plastic that you have to glue together and then paint in much detail. And there's transfers that you put on as well, which are impossible. Anyway, I had an Airfix model once of a boat. It was a massive boat. Do you remember it, Mum? Mum's here today. My boat that I had, do you remember it? Anyway, it was about this big, okay? And on the outside of the packet, it looked amazing. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this amazing boat. And I never finished it. I never finished it because it took ages. And then one or two of the bits started to get broken. And then it just wasn't as impressive as I hoped it would be. And so I gave up, chucked it in the bin. And sometimes that's what it feels like in our service of the Lord Jesus. It started out and we were really excited. You thought, yes, I'm going to, in this new job, I'm going to honour the Lord Jesus in the way that I make a stand for him. As I go to a new school, I'm really going to, I'm going to make a stand and tell others all about him every single day. In my work as a parent, as I bring up my kids, I'm really going to bring them up in the way of the Lord. I'm going to have a Bible time every day. I'm going to pray with them. It's going to be fantastic. In my retirement, or in the time that I'm out of work, I'm going to use my time really wisely this year. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. And you started out and it was really exciting for like a couple of days. And then it didn't really seem to make much difference. And it wasn't quite as impressive as you hoped it would be. And you're just feeling a bit flat. That could be true of lots of different areas of our service of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it just feels like it's slow and it's not really doing anything. As we plant a church here a couple of years ago and as we seek to reach out to this community, there are so many people here. I was walking down Hazelbury Road the other day again, just overwhelmed by the number of houses that there are and the number of people that I have no idea who they are or what their story is. Does that ever overwhelm you? It feels like the task ahead of us is impossible. It's slow. What's the point? Let's just give up. Should we give up? Should we give up? No, because here's the answer from Colossians. It's in chapter 1 again, verse 6. Here's the encouragement if you want to give up. Chapter 1, verse 6. In the same way, this is Paul to the Colossians, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Why should we keep going? Because it's working. It really is working. It may not seem like it, but the gospel is growing. It is bearing fruit. In fact, as we serve the Lord Christ in all that we do, that in itself is the fruit of the gospel on display. Christians who have received Jesus, who stand firm in Jesus, and who serve Jesus, that's gospel fruit. It's not just about the number of people who are new, who come through the doors. It's not just about the number of baptisms that we have. Actually, as we encourage one another to remain true to the end, to be a completer, that in itself is a sign of the gospel at work, of the grace of Jesus in our lives, which enables us to be completers. It is working. So don't be discouraged. Final thing. It might be that this morning, as you come, you're not feeling a particular temptation to give up. If that's the case, that's good. Praise the Lord for that. But there is a crucial role for you to play. Just look at the first two words of our verse again. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. First two words, tell Archippus. This is an instruction to the church family, something that they needed to do for Archie. He needed his friends to encourage him to be a completer. Just like the marathon runner, who needs friends to train with and who needs a crowd to cheer him along. We need each other. We need people to draw alongside and say, keep going. So let's do that for each other. Let's do that today, after the meeting, in conversations that we have, or over lunch, over coffee. Let's say, keep going. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Why not text someone this week? Keep going. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. As someone comes to you with an issue, perhaps, that they're struggling with, you can put an arm around them and say, keep going. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. We've come to the end of our series, which has been called On the Go. We've seen these pen portraits of these lesser-known people and what it means to be in service of our Lord Jesus together. But it's not just about them. As we've seen, it's all about us. Every believer in the Lord Jesus is on the go. If you've been following Jesus, you've been given work to do. And so my encouragement to you, if you feel like giving up this morning, is this. See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, for the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Thank you that he completed the work of his Father, the will of his Father. We thank you that he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And we praise you for the wonder that in your kindness and in your goodness, you have chosen to use us, weak as we are, in your service. Thank you that you've given us a job to do in the kingdom. And we pray that you would equip us. Lord, we feel our weakness. Often we are tempted to give up. It is tiring. It is slow. It is uncomfortable. Please would you help us by your Spirit and through your people to be encouragers, those who say, keep going. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. And we ask it so that we would be for the glory of your name as those who get to the end and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song together.